It was a beautiful spring day, the 1st of April. The church was full on that particular Sunday, and the pastor stood up ready to begin the sermon that was sitting right there on the pulpit. And he walked from his seat up to the pulpit, and he got there. His sermon manuscript was gone. In its place was a note, and the note read, "We, the youth fellowship of this church, have kidnapped your sermon for today. If you want it back, you must sing 'Jesus Loves Me' to your congregation, April Fools." No, I wasn't that pastor, because that church would have suffered terribly to have me sing "Jesus Loves Me." And I think whatever youth groups I worked with knew it. However, I happen to know that this congregation is not above its own pranks. Yeah, some of you old timers will know when I first arrived here, I received a very warm welcome. And after a couple of months here, in fact, it was quite close to April, I think, that I got up to the pulpit here and discovered a flash of gold in this water glass that sits here every Sunday. Somebody had placed a goldfish in there. And no, I did not swallow it. I spotted it first. The thing is, the culprit in that one has never been caught. Anyway, happy April Fool's Day and happy Easter to you. And in many ways, these 2 days have a lot in common. April Fool's Day is a day for jokes and pranks, and Easter is a day to celebrate God's prank on death. They are so related that Christian author Terry Linville once suggested that April Fool's Day should be put on the calendar of the Christian year, along with Christmas and Ash Wednesday and Good Friday and Easter. Wrote Linville, "There are two kinds of fools in the world, damned fools and what Paul calls fools for Christ. Paul himself is the one who legitimizes April Fool's Day for Christians. The cross is foolishness to those who do not believe. It is salvation, hope, love, and joy to those who do. It is a divine joke on Satan, the great deceiver. April Fool's Day in most years is a day of preparation for the divine folly of the Easter sunrise. April Fool's Day offers a choice for us," he writes. "Presently, we are all fools. The choice lies in for whom we play the fool, ourselves or for Christ." Christianity, in fact, has a long history of holy fools, and many of them, like 16th century Italian Philip Neri, who treated solemnity as if it were a vice, were regarded as saints. From the 4th century onward, the holy fool has been a reoccurring figure, especially in the Greek and Russian churches. Who dared to needle the czars and the communist bureaucrats, and were esteemed by the people as healers and peacemakers? And when you think about it, there's a certain foolishness that comes with being a Christian, and yet it is a foolishness born of faith. As Quaker Tom Mullen once put it, our theology should enable us to see God as one in whom we can trust even in the middle of the ultimate fear, which is death. If we can laugh in the crisis of death, that is one way of saying that God is in charge. And that is what we recognize this day, our ability to laugh in the crisis of death. As Paul put it in his letter to Corinthians, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, and after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power, for he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We come here on Easter morning to celebrate this truth, that death is destroyed, and we can laugh and joke and celebrate because death no longer has the power over us. I remember once sitting with a man in a hospital emergency room, and he was literally undergoing a heart attack right at that moment that the doctors were trying to halt. I asked him if he feared death, and he said to me, "What is there to fear? Death is only the next step in this grand adventure that God has sent me on." I could hear in this man's words the words of Paul the Apostle saying, "O death, where is thy sting?" In his own way, this man was laughing in the face of death. You know, it does feel good to laugh, doesn't it? It feels good to shake off the heaviness of Lent and laugh, to smile, and let God's love shine upon us, to let Jesus out of the tomb and share the happiness that God shares with us this day. The Easter season, wrote Protestant theologian Jürgen Moltmann, began the laughing of the redeemed, the dancing of the liberated. Even in the days of Protestant orthodoxy, Easter sermons used to begin with a joke. Episcopal Bishop William Fry writes, "What, after all, is a joke? Isn't it something that turns the tables on the expected, something that hinges on the unpredictable or the unreasonable? There is nothing more unreasonable than the resurrection of Jesus. And to believe in it is to be part of the huge practical joke that God plays on those who blindly trust in the sufficiency of human reason to unravel all problems and to answer every question." Presbyterian Frank Yates writes, "Easter morning is when the Lord laughs out loud and laughs at all the snuff out of joy, all the things that pretend to be all-powerful, like cruelty and madness and despair and evil, and most especially that great pretender death. Jesus sweeps them away with his wonderful resurrection laughter." There's something joyful in honest laughter. C.S. Lewis, in his classic book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, presents Christ as the great lion, Aslan, who submits to his own death as payment for the sins of the boy Edward. Edward's two sisters witness the cruel death, and they weep at the sight of this glorious beast lying dead on the stone table. But to their amazement, the stone table cracks, and Aslan, the great lion, leaps from the ruins wondrously and completely well. And then, in a glorious scene, the girls climb onto the back of the great lion, and he proceeds to take them on a glorious romp through the countryside, expressing sheer joy at the resurrection he was experiencing, leaving the girls exhausted and exhilarated, which is exactly the mood of Easter: laughter, joy, exhilaration, and yes, exhaustion even. And the joke is on the powers that would stop it. In the passage that Becky read from the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb to tend to the body of Jesus. When she gets there, she finds the stone removed from the entrance to the tomb. Unsure what has happened, she returns to where the disciples are gathered and tells them this news. And after Peter and John enter the empty tomb, she goes in, and there she encounters the risen Jesus. Not recognizing him, she assumes him to be the gardener, the caretaker of the cemetery, but when Jesus says her name, Mary recognizes him, and in that moment, weeping turns to sheer joy. And she cries out in a term of endearment, "Rabboni." But then that is the power of the resurrection, that in our darkest moments, we suddenly recognize that Christ is with us. That Christ is present with us in the midst of the crises we're going through, even in the midst of death. Presbyterian pastor and former U.S. Senate chaplain Lloyd Ogilvie once wrote, "The Lord's intervening resurrection power is given not only for life's impossible problems, but also for our immense opportunities. There's always a time when we get to the end of our strength and courage and have to surrender the future of a plan, a project, or a program. Out of the grave of our depleted efforts, the Lord gives fresh vision, insight, and answers we had not conceived of before. Easter happens again. For resurrection living, there is resurrection power. This is Easter forever. This is enjoying God. Today is Easter, folks. Easter forever. What else might we say on this day, this April Fool's Day Easter? But he is risen. Perhaps on April Fool's Day, it would be best to end this sermon with a joke, and the one I have comes from the newspaper cartoon Family Circus. There in the cartoon, the older brother is talking to the younger brother, and he says to him, "This may be Good Friday, but Sunday is going to be even gooder." And that is so true, my friends. So true. Amen.